Let's rock. Okay, so today we're going to go to the end of the second reading. Second reading opens with Moshe Rabbeinu bringing, well, really Aaron. Aaron is the main actor now. Aaron approaches the altar and he brings a fistful of dough. This is, of course, a meal offering. And then afterwards, Aaron HaKohen brings the various offerings. There's a chatas to be spoken of, an ola. And then the Torah details exactly what and how is brought onto the Mizbeach. And after all of this, Aaron raises his hands. So first we begin with the blessings of Aaron HaKohen, but we're going to move on to the blessings of Moses. Because Moses, really, he's the master when it comes to blessings. Aaron blesses first, Vayisa, chapter 9 in the book of Leviticus. Verse 22, Vayisa Aharon es yodov ala'om. Aaron raises his hands to the nation, Vayivorchem, and he blesses them. And then the Torah says, Vayered ma'asei sachatas, he goes down from performing the act of the korban, the sin offering, the ha'ola, and the sin offering, v'hashlamim, and the peace offering. What kind of bracha did Aaron HaKohen give at this point? So, Rashi tells us he wasn't like the one who gives blessings up until this point. Moshe was the master blesser. Right? Moshe was the one who blessed the people. He was the Rebbe. Aaron was a Kohen Gadol. So since he's a Kohen Gadol, well, then the Kohanim have jobs. And one of their jobs is to bless the people. So Vayivarchem, Rashi says, this is Birchas Kohanim. These are the blessings that the priests bestow on a regular basis, which we're actually going to read about much later on in the book of Numbers and Sefer Bamidbar. But at any rate, here Aharon already knows about these blessings that will be commanded about, and so he blesses Yevorechecha, Yoer, and Yisa. And this is how Aaron HaKohen begins his career as the Kohen Gadol. Vayered, it says, he came down from the altar. So Rashi says, Vayered means Me'alam Mizbech. He was up on the Mizbech. So he was up on the altar, he came down from the altar, and the first thing he did after completing the offerings and the services that he had been instructed to bring, the first thing he did was bless the people. Now, verse 23 is a very curious verse. Very curious verse. After hearing that Aaron blessed the people, and that he raised his hands, either as the Ibn Ezra says, in the direction of the people, or as the Rabbeinu Bachaya says, for the need of the people, for their good, for that they should see that he's directing his blessings towards them. The Torah now says, Vayovoi Moshe ve'Aharon. Now suddenly Moshe Rabbeinu is back on the scene. Moshe and Aaron el go el ohel moed, to the tent of meeting. Vayetzu, and they come out. Vayivarchu, and they bless es ha'am. So after Aaron finishes what he's supposed to do, Aaron blesses the people. But then, after Aaron blesses the people, suddenly Moshe Rabbeinu is returned. He and Aaron go into the Ohel Moed together. Then they come out and they bless the people. And here the Torah says, Vayera kved Hashem el kol ha'am. The glory of God now became visible to all of the people. So this pasuk obviously has many question marks. Let's take a look in Rashi. Vayovi Moshe v'Aaron v'Goymer. Rashi's commentary is not in the words only of Vayovi Moshe v'Aaron. So obvious question is, what's Moshe doing over here? How did Moshe get back into the mix? I thought that he did his thing, 7 days are over. Aaron HaKohen is now performing as Kohen, and suddenly Moshe Ben is right back in there. But this is much more than just a question of Vayovi Moshe v'Aaron. The bigger question here is what is going on over here? What happened in this verse? Moshe and Aaron went in, they come out, they bless the people, and only then does the glory of God appear. What's going on here? And Rashi adds the word in this transcription of the scripture. He says, Vayavi Moshe v'Aaron v'Goymer, etc., etc. Tells us that this commentary applies not only to the first few words, but rather to the continuation of the pasuk. Right? It doesn't always say etc. Yeah. Everything's very precise. If Rashi says etc., it means he's referring to not just the words he's going to transcribe, but the entire pasuk. So let's take a look. And indeed, Rashi does not let us down. His commentary begins not only what's Moshe Rabbeinu doing here, but in general, what are they going into the tent of meeting for? Lama nichnasu. Why did they go in? This nobody was commanded. We didn't hear about this before. This is a surprise move. After everything is done, all the instructions are followed, suddenly Moshe and Aaron are going into the tent of meeting. So Rashi says, Matzasi beparashas hamiluim. I found in the Braisa, which is called Mechilta de Miluim, because it's the Braisa which is Neisefes al Teres Kerenim Shalano. It's the Braisa that's added to the Teres Kerenim. Teres Kerenim is the Sifra, is the Medrash Halacha that accompanies the book of Leviticus, Sefer Vayikra. And then in addition to the book of Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, the regular Medrash, there's an additional Medrash, which is called Parshas Miluim, or Braisa de Miluim. So over there, Rashi says, this question is addressed. And the question is even asked openly. Lama nichnas Moshe im Aaron. Why did Moshe enter Aaron? And here the question is much more directed as to why, not why Aaron entered, but why did Moshe enter? Moshe's already done his thing. He's brought the Kohanim to the threshold. He's ushered Aaron through the door. At this point onward, Aaron's on his own. He's the Kohen. Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer the Kohen. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't come to the Beis HaMikdash to do the services anymore. So lama nichnas Moshe im Aaron? Why did Moshe go in with Aaron? If Aaron had to go in, that's Aaron's business. The transition's over. Vayayim HaShmini. This is it. Aaron is the man now. He's the big kahuna. Literally. Huh? Ah. But you would think he'd learned everything already. So Rashi says, L'lam de'al ma'is ha'k'teris. That he went to teach him from about the Ketoret. Because from today and onward, Aaron is going to have to start bringing the Ketoret. And during all 7 days of the inauguration, all of the Avedas of the Miluyim were performed by Moshe Rabbeinu. There was the Tmidim and the Keteris and so on and so forth. And now from this day and onward, Aaron Kohen has to take over. And all this was done by Moshe up till this point. However, the Keteris is always done in privacy. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pashtos, simply stated, did not have Aaron next to him as the apprentice. And when he went to do the Keteris, he went to do the Keteris as Keteris is supposed to be done in the private. And now all of a sudden, Aaron doesn't know what to do. He's never seen this. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes in with him to teach him to do the Keteris. Now Rashi says, lest you think, oy, le'nichnas el le'davar acher, lest you think they went in for some other purpose. This was more than just learning about Ketoret. There was something more that was going on over here. So Rashi says, so I can hareini don, I can analyze this by yirida ubiya to una bracha. I can see that when Aaron comes down from the Mizbeach, what does he do? He blesses the people. And then when he comes out of the Mishkan, out of the tent of meeting, what does he do? He's blessing the people again. So ma yirida me'ein aveda, just as Aaron coming down from the altar, what was he doing on the altar? He's doing what we're supposed to do. He was bringing the korbanos. So avbiya, so too, this coming into the oil mayad me'ein aveda has to be something which is korban related, service related. There was services to do. This whole cadence of verses is about services. Aaron HaKohen in verse 20, 21 and 22, he's doing the services. In verse 21, he's bringing the offerings. In verse 22, he's coming down from bringing the offerings. In verse 23, he's going into the oil mud. What's it all about? All of these verses, one after the other, are describing the services in the temple. Yes, it's true. Aaron concluded bringing the offerings with a bracha. That's true. And now Aaron is going back into the oil mud, presumably, again, for offerings. And now he's going to conclude with a bracha. So Rashi says, it's all me'ein aveda. It's all me'ein aveda. It all revolves around the services in the Mishkan. It revolves around korbanot. That's what this has to be. So halomadata lama nichnas Moshe im Aaron. So this can show you, this can teach you. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu go in with Aaron? If Aaron was going in for the aveda, for the service is only kosher, is appropriate, is suitable when it's done through a kohen. Aaron is the Kohen now. Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer the Kohen. So if Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer the Kohen, why is Aaron going in? But why is Moshe going in? Elomai, it has to be that he was going in because Aaron didn't know something. He had to do something. He didn't know how to do it yet. So why did Moshe go with Aaron? Lelam de'al ma'is ha'k'teiris. This is the first approach. So the first approach is This is a mystery entrance and exit. We don't know what happened here. This was never been discussed before. Rashi says it's not as mysterious as it seems. It's actually quite logical. It makes perfect sense. If you follow the cadence of verses, you'll see that we're talking about Avoda continuously. And the only reason that Moshe would have to go into the tent of meeting, if it's a time of Avoda, a time of the service, is only because Aaron didn't know something yet. What wouldn't he have known? What was done in the tent of meeting? What was done in the privacy of the inner sanctum? The Ketoros. So that's what Moshe was doing there. He was there to teach Aaron how to bring the Ketoros. That's kind of logical. Now Rashi says, Rashi's not satisfied with this. Because this is like one big mystery. That doesn't say it anywhere. We don't hear anything about this. And why wouldn't Moshe Rabbeinu have told Aaron about the Ketoros earlier? And why wouldn't he give him a simulated Ketoros lesson? Say, okay, Aaron, come. Let me just show you what goes on inside there. We're not going to go in there because we don't do that. And I'm going to bring the Ketoros for real. I'll bring it for real. But you're going to have to be going there tomorrow. Let me just show you what gets done. You could have brought like folk Ketoros. Just showing Aaron. Why would he not do that? In fact, logic would dictate that he did do that. Because he knew that Aaron, this is his day to shine. This is Aaron's day to be the Kohen. Moshe Rabbeinu knows I'm no longer the Kohen. I can no longer do these things. Aaron has to do it. Why would he wait till 11th hour and 59 seconds to teach him? So because of this, Rashi has another interpretation, another idea from our sages. Davar Acher. Why did they go? They went together to pray. It's not Aveda. This is a prayer session. Why are they praying? Kivan Shara Aaron Shekar V'kol HaKarbonos. Aaron saw all the offerings are brought. V'nasu kol ha-maisim. All the deeds, everything is done. All the instructions have been followed. Everything exactly as it's supposed to be. And what happened? And nothing happened. Did everything is supposed to do? Still, quiet on the Western Front. Nothing. So, this became a very disconcerting. So Aaron felt terrible. He had tremendous anguish. He said, I know that God is upset with me because of my role in the ego. And therefore, it's not because the instructions were wrong. I know Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't play with instructions. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly gave me the right instructions. But if Moshe gave me the right instructions, why isn't it working? It must be the actor. It's not what was done. It's the subject who's playing the role. Bishvili lo yarda shchina liyisrael. Aaron is in his tremendous humility. He said, I must assume it's because of me. Amar loy l'maisha. He said to Maisha, quote, Maisha achi, Maisha my brother. Kacha sisili. This is what you did to me. Shenichnasti v'nizbeyashti. Was this about turning me into a grand puba, an object of shame, an object of scorn? You told me to do all these things and nothing work. Well, who do you think people are going to blame? I blame myself. I'm sure they're going to blame me. It must be me. I'm unworthy. So what are you doing to begin with? What'd you drag me? I told you to begin with. I didn't want to do this. I told you I don't feel worthy of it. And Moshe obviously must have felt terrible too. Miyad nichnas Moshe and Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, come with me. And they went into the Elmaid. Uvikshu rachamim. Together they begged Hashem's mercy. And what happened? So in the end, when you do all the right things, you dot all the I's and cross all the T's, you follow all the instructions, what else has to happen? You get a little davening. Then you pray. Right? There's this chassid who's an Air Force pilot. He's a former Air Force pilot in Israel. He says you play, you prepare, and you prepare, and you prepare, and you train, and everything's in place, and you check everything. He says, and then you pray. Aaron did all the things, and then they had to pray. And so they prayed. And what happened then? And then they blessed. They prayed, and then they blessed. Because that's how the verse finishes. Vayivarchu asam. Vayetsu, they came out, they varchu asam. Rashi says, here he interprets the rest of the verse, not based on the first interpretation, but continuing the second interpretation, that this is about prayer. And he says, they left the tent of meeting, Amru, they said together, Vehi noyam Hashem alekeinu aleinu. May the pleasantness of the Lord God be upon you. And he said, what does that mean? May it be his will that the divine presence should reside in your handiwork. And now Rashi explains, now you're blessing them. Why now? What happened all of a sudden that now you're giving brachas? Explains Rashi, Lefishakol, Shivisimea Miluim, all 7 days of inauguration. Shehem Midu Meshal Mishkan, Meshal Rabbeinu was the one who put up the Mishkan, Vishimish Bey, he served in it. Uferku Bechol Yoim, and every day was taken down, and nothing happened. Loi Sharsa Voi Shechina. There was no divine presence. The Mishkan functioned. Everything was supposed to be done was done, but nothing happened. And the Jewish people hung their heads in shame, and they were very, very disappointed. They said to Moses, "Meisher Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbe, kol hatayrach shetarachnu, all the efforts we expended, we worked so hard, we gave all what we gave, and we worked so hard to do all the things we're supposed to do, and build and craft and construct everything according to your instructions, as per the Ratzon Hashem, the will of God." And all of this was done, Shetisha Shechina b'mineinu, so that God's presence should dwell amongst us, which is how Moshe Rabbeinu introduced the project to begin with. He said, V'asu li migdash, we'll make for me a migdash, and what will happen? V'shachanti v'seichan. That was not, Rezon de Etre, this was the marching orders, that's the goal, destination Shechina. The bottom line, the goal was to bring the Shechina. What happened? It didn't happen. The Shechina didn't come. V'neida, why is it so important for us to have the Shechina? We need to have a personal spiritual experience. We need to see fireworks. He said, no, it's so important to us because we need to know that God has forgiven us for the sin of the golden calf. And before the sin of the golden calf, we felt and knew the presence of God amongst us. And since then, everything's gone dark. And we want to know that Hashem has forgiven us. So we're waiting for the sign. It's not coming. So we don't know that Hashem has forgiven us. Where do we go from here? So what happened? L'kach omer lehem, Moshe says to them, listen, my dear children, zeh ha-dover ashetziva Hashem tasu. This, you just stay the course. You keep doing what you're supposed to do. You'll see. In the end, v'yeda aleichem kved Hashem. God's glory will be revealing itself to you because this is just the inauguration. This is, we're just going through the motions. Wait till the eighth day. Wait till Rosh Chodesh Nisan. You'll see. This will work. It will work. We just have to get there. So what happened? And here it's the eighth day. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, you'll see that Aaron Ochi Kedai V'choshev Imeni. You'll see that Aaron's better than me. I'll be a Kohen and nothing will happen. And Aaron will be a Kohen. And the day he does it, the Shekhinah will come. You'll see. It will come Al Yedei Karbonai Sov through his efforts, through his offerings. Avaidah Soy and through his service. Shetishre Shekhinah Bachem, that God's presence will dwell amongst you. V'seidu, and you will know, Shamachem Bachar Boy, that God has indeed chosen him as the Kohen. And of course, you all know the story in the book of Numbers. Korach leads a rebellion, and they still question whether Aaron was the one chosen even after the Shekhinah came down, but they should have known. After all this, after 7 days of Moshe going through the motions and nothing happening, and now Aaron going forward and doing what he's supposed to do, and then the Shekhinah comes, they should have known. But this is now, this Rashi provides you with a snapshot, like a panorama, a big picture of where we've gone and how we've arrived. This is the whole slew of months from after the day after Yom Kippur until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This is the 6 months encapsulated from the day they got the command until the day that God's Shekhinah finally came to the Jewish people. Yes? Okay. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the master of blessing. Nobody could argue with that. He's the Rebbe. He's the great Rebbe. I mean, Aaron gives blessings. That's his job. Kohanim's job is to give blessings. But really and truly, even though Kohanim have given blessings since the days of Aaron HaKohen, it's still the greatest tzaddikim that give the blessings, right? You want a bracha, don't just go to your local Kohen. You look for tzaddik to get a bracha. And indeed, he didn't let us down, Moshe Rabbeinu. He did give blessings. And in fact, he gave seemingly the same blessing twice. He's given this blessing already. You should be saying, I think I heard these words. I think I heard this. You did. Where'd you hear it? That's why I brought that to Chumash Shmais also. Let's open the Chumash Shmais. Let's go to page, I don't know what page number you have in that Chumash, but it's chapter 39, verse 43. It's at the end of Parshas Pekudei. Chapter 39, in verse 43, which is the end of the sixth reading. You guys can have it and see. And what do we see there? The people brought the work to Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he do? He inspected everything. And then what did the master blesser do? Vayivarech Isa Moshe. Moshe blessed him. What was the blessing? Sure there is. Verse, chapter 39, verse 43. It's the last verse in chapter 39. Take a look in Rashi. Rashi says, Vayivarech Isa Moshe. Omer Lehem, he said to them, Yehirachen Shetish Reshchina B'maisei Yedechem. May it be the will of the Lord that the Shechina, the divine presence, will dwell in your handiwork. And the pasuk finishes off. V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, which this is Rashi comments here. This is the verse that's found in one of the special chapters of Tillim. We know chapters of Tillim from 90 to 100 were composed by Moshe Rabbeinu. Tillim, Psalm 90 begins with Tefillah LeMoshe, a prayer for Moshe. These are Moshe's 10 prayers, 10 chapters of Tillim. And there in the 17th verse, we find this exact pasuk. We find Moshe Rabbeinu in chapter 90, Psalm 90, verse 17, it says the words, V'hinoyim Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. Same blessing, yes? What's the difference? Now take a look back in the Rashi we just learned, and take a look in this Rashi, and look at them side by side, and tell me what the difference is. Here in Parshas Pekudei, it says, He said to them, Yehiratzen Shetish Lashchina B'maisi Yedeichem. May it be the will of God that the Shechina should reside in your handiwork. And Rashi then says, V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu V'gomer. And then he goes on to quote the Pasuk and tell him, may it be the pleasantness of the Lord God upon you. So first he explains the blessing, what the blessing was. Yiratzen Shetish Shechina B'maisi Yedeichem. And only afterwards does he quote a Pasuk. And what did we just learn together now in Parshas Shemini? Moshe Rabbeinu blessed the people. What was the blessing? The blessing was, Amru, they said, V'yinoyam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. And then Rashi says, Yehiratzen Shetish Reshchina B'maisi Yedeichem. In Parshas Pekudei, first we get the interpretive blessing. Yiratzen Shetish Reshchina B'maisi Yedeichem, the words of Moshe, as he gave the specific blessing. Followed by the words of the scripture from the book of Tillim, V'hinoyim. However, when it comes to Pasuk Tzpashmini, Parsha Shmini, first we have the verse of Tillim, and only afterwards would we have the blessing of Moshe. So when we compare these two comments of Rashi, it's exactly the opposite. That's a good question. Why? Why did the master blesser switch his blessing syntax? I mean, Rashi's every word is choreographed. If Rashi tells you this is how it was, you can take it to the bank. Bottom line, that's how it was. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu bless the people one way when they brought all the materials to him, and he blessed them a different way when the Shechina was about to appear? It's a reasonable question. So luckily for us, the Rebbe once addressed it. And you can find that in the Biurim here in Parsha Shmini, page Kuf Chaf in the Vayikra book. And this is Ches, the eighth entry in Parsha Shmini. The Rebbe says, V'yesh levayer esibas hashinei. We can explain the difference, the change of syntax between the first blessing and the second. Habroch eshebe Parshas Pekudei. The blessing in Parshas Pekudei, Oisekes b'meleches asiyas ha-mishkan, is involved in what? What is it dealing with? The building of the Mishkan. Shenasaso, who is it done by? Be'ikra yedei chachme aleva iskim b'melecho. Who built the Mishkan? No, Moshe didn't build the Mishkan. Betzalel, Aliyav, and a whole bunch of very talented people. Hundreds or maybe thousands of talented men and women who signed up and said, count us in. From the ladies who were spinning goats to the guys who are performing carpentry. Everybody did his or her thing. Very talented people, very dedicated people, committed themselves 100% under the expert guidance of Bezalel and Aliyev. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He didn't do really anything. And that's, if you remember, Rashi a little bit earlier in Parshas Pekudei says that Moshe Rabbeinu was kind of feeling bad because he didn't do anything in the Mishkan. So what did Moshe do? He assembled the Mishkan. He assembled the pieces. They brought all the pieces to him. He said, okay, Moshe, what do you do with this now? In the Torah it says one person should put it up. We can't do it. We all tried. Because it says V'hakim Moisa. One, not the Hakim Moisem. So the commandment was one person. No one person could lift these things. Moshe puts his hand to it and it goes up. So the whole reason that that happened that way was because Moshe felt bad that he didn't have a part. So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was not part of building the Mishkan. Hakamas HaMoshe was Idei Mishkan. Therefore, Pasach Moshe Tchilu V'Bracha L'Eisei Mishkan. Before he put the Mishkan together, the first thing is he addressed the people who made the Mishkan. And he said, Yehiratzen Shetisha Shechina, may it be the will of God, that may it be His will, that His presence will reside, B'Maisei Yedeichem, in your handiwork. Why did he say your handiwork? Because what did he do up until this point? Nothing. He didn't do. They did. So he was blessing them. He said, your handiwork should come to fruition. Your handiwork should house the presence of God. But then he said, it's not really just about you, it's about all of us. And therefore he used the words, V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. Aleinu means upon
us,
all of us. However, in our parsha, we're talking about the bracha which follows the services that were done on Yemei Amiluyim, the 7 days of work, culminating with the 8th day, with Aaron HaKohen's Karbanes. And what was the purpose of all these offerings? All these offerings of all 7 days, followed by the 8th, was all done by the Meisha V'Yaharein. What was the purpose? So that the Shekhinah might come to the people. V'lachem Psachim Meisha V'Yaharein Tchilu V'Bracha La'atzlachas Maseyam Atzman. The first thing he did was bless the actual handiwork that who had done? He and Aaron did. The people didn't do it. They didn't bring the Karbanos. He brought the Karbanos. Aharon brought the Karbanos. So the first thing we say is, V'hinayim Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. May the presence of the Lord be upon us, meaning us, because we did the work. L'achar mekein. And afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu added something else. He said that ultimately, as a result of our handiwork, of our efforts, Shetish Shechina, the Ma'isehem, in the handiwork of B'nei Yisrael. Yedechem, Yedash Shechina, Ma'iseh Yedechem. May God's handiwork reside in your hands. And that's what we see. Yahmesh's blessing was very, very precise and exact. But in the end, even when it's directed towards a group of people, a group of Jewish people who have done a specific task, be it those who built the Mishkan, and now they brought the pieces to Moshe, or be it Moshe and Aaron who brought the Karbanos, and now its residual effect has been felt by all, in the end, the blessing does not only apply to the slender amount of people who were actually involved. In the end, we see that the bracha, that the end result, enriches us all. And so it is. And so it is, my dear friends. You know, the Rebbe doesn't say this, but elsewhere it's talked about the idea that Am Shebesodis. There's the people out there in the fields, people who are toiling. Not everybody can make it to shul in the morning. So what happens to Am Shebesodis? You come to shul, they get the blessing. There's this idea that in the end we're in this together. And when one Ben Abbas Yisrael works hard, another Ben Abbas Yisrael is able to benefit. This has been that way since the very beginning. A small group of people worked, they brought zechus, they brought merit to the entire nation. Moshe V'Aharon worked, they're ultimately just agents of the nation. And the merit comes to all of us. May the merits come to all of us, and may we merit indeed to see the Shekhinah reside amongst us in the third Beis HaMikdash, Bemheira, will be Ameinu, Amen. Thank you.